stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm rebroadcasting part of an interview I did a couple of years ago with Jeffrey Kinn, who is the artistic director of the Players Theater in Sarasota, Florida. And then I'm doing a follow-up interview with Jeffrey so he can talk about the current production of Lend Me a Tenor, which was such a big hit the first and also the last time they produced it that they're doing it again by popular demand. Listen to this complicated, talented, funny, charming, interesting, dedicated theater person. Hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice. Prodding from the voice, oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down you dive, where the child's gone to survive.
Is all about self-knowledge, not only knowing thyself, but being thyself. If you have listened to the show before, you know that as a psychotherapist with many, many, many years of practice behind me, I have observed what I believe to be pretty much a constant, and that is that somehow in our childhood, some quality which we exhibit or demonstrate doesn't go down well. It doesn't bring the response that we want and desperately need, that we are fine and loved and everything about us is perfect. This can happen because of something that we ourselves have done or something that an older sibling has done that we observed not going down so well. I see quite a lot in my practice younger siblings who have observed an older child being told in no uncertain terms not to do that, not to be that, not to say that. And so the younger child learns it even though it hasn't happened to them. In any case, because we are extremely flexible, we are able initially to pretend that we are not that, whatever that is, and then to pretend it even to ourselves, to hide that quality of cleverness, of assertiveness, of silliness, any number of things, whatever it is that didn't go down well. And we come into adulthood believing that we are not this. Well, the problem here is that later in life, we may very well need the quality which we have so cleverly hidden from ourselves. That's the bad news. The good news is that it is only hidden, not gone. And so much of my practice is about helping people recover something they already have. They come in wanting either to be able to do something they haven't been able to do or stop doing something they'd like to stop doing. And what we discover is that that capacity, the one they came into therapy for, is already there. We need only sweep away the layers of denial. I say it as though it's an easy thing to do, but I know quite well that it is not an easy thing to do. Because whatever it was that caused us to suppress a part of ourselves, that also hasn't gone away. And that is extremely powerful. And there are consequences to recovering parts of ourselves, which is why therapy is so useful, because that's what we do in therapy. We discover what has been hidden, we work towards the recovery, and towards the ability to tolerate the consequences. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to my website, thelynnshow.com, thelynnshow. Don't leave the E out of Lynn, thelynnshow.com. And you can hear some about this in earlier shows, all of whose podcasts are up on the website, or you can take a look at my book, When You Can, You Will, Why You Can't Always Do What You Want to Do and What to Do About It. You can listen to the first chapter. You can get the book or the workbook or the audiobook. And if you are listening to the show, you know I also interview people who make their living or their life with an art. Because when you listen to these people, you hear, at least in the aspect of their work, who they really are. And the interview I'm playing today with Jeffrey Kinn might be the poster child for what I want to demonstrate with my show. Jeffrey discovered himself so young, and you'll hear him say, I have to say it, although he will talk about it again, that by the third grade, he was pretending to die for his third grade teacher. He missed the school bus and had to explain to his mother that he was dying for Mrs. Gagnon. He knew it so early. And his desire to perform, which led to the creation of a man who can do everything that there is to do in theater. Sing, dance, act, write, direct, produce. And he has found himself as the artistic director of a community theater in Sarasota, Florida, that is The Players, where we are incredibly grateful to have him. And so I'm playing, as I said in the lead-in, an interview I did several years ago when I did not know Jeffrey. And then I'm playing a follow-up interview I just did with him where he talks about the coming production of Lend Me a Tenor. This is a funny interview in which Jeffrey talks about what is clearly a very funny play. So here now, Jeffrey Kinn, then and now.
Here with Jeffrey Kinn in the extended lobby of the Players Theater.
That's correct, yes.
And I'm going to move because I forgot. I'm so technologically challenged. For the longest time, I didn't know the microphone was here.
It's the little thing that says MIC.
Well, you are better at it than I am. And that's great. That's great. So here we are. And
yes.
I don't really know Jeffrey.
But you're going to.
I'm planning to.
Yeah.
I'm counting on it.
Yeah.
And I've been interviewing people who make their living or their life from an art form.
Interesting.
And clearly you are one of them.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yes.
In the theater,
yes.
Which is rare.
Rare. Mm-hmm. Rare to...
I know.
Almost impossible.
It took me many, 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 many 40-some years
I was just going to say, you don't even look like many, many, many.
No. There's many, many. I'm 44.
Are you?
I started doing theater when I was 13.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I've been doing theater as a performer, and then I did the whole New York thing. You know, I went to college, and then
I
went to New York.
Yeah, well, I want to hear all about this. What I want to hear is, before I ask you, I want to say that even though I've never met Jeffrey, I got a chance to see him on stage,
mm-hmm.
and he's... He's embarrassed.
I'm totally embarrassed.
Cute because he's blushing.
Yeah.
He's terrific. He's so engaging on stage. He's so easy to watch. You want to listen to him. You want to hear whatever he has to say. You don't want him to get off the stage. Friends of mine said you have to go interview Jeffrey because he's the, creative director?
Artistic director.
Artistic director,
right.
Director of the Players Theater, which
right.
is a community theater in Sarasota, Florida.
Correct.
So I thought I was coming to interview an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to this thing, and I see you up there, and it's clear where your passion lies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm tickled about all of that. And so what I want to hear from you is how this happened to you, how you became it, how it called you. You understand what I'm
saying? Yeah, no, I do. I was always the creative kid. I was always, you know, in the first grade, I was Rumpelstiltskin, and in the second grade, I was already doing puppet shows. And
okay, so then it starts before 13.
It started before 13. 13 was when I first started doing community theater.
Okay, well,
back
up to the early thing. What do you remember?
I remember I forgot my words as Rumpelstiltskin and that I made them up.
Did you really?
Yes, I improvised in the first grade.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's
wonderful.
That should have told you something.
Yes. Is there...
Not a stitch.
No.
There's no theatricality anywhere in my family. was that what you were going to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I won't have to talk.
No, you can ask a friend. I just had a feeling you were going to say,
you were right.
Is there some sort of theater? And there
yes.
isn't. I'm a farm kid. My parents were, I was born and raised on about a 500-acre farm.
Where?
In central Ohio.
Wow.
And
well, you can hardly get further away from Broadway than that.
Yeah. And I'm the youngest of six kids. So I had to be loud. And I had to, if I wanted to say something, I had to say it. Otherwise, I was just going to get rolled right over by my other siblings.
Yeah.
So it was a big Catholic farm family.
Yeah.
And even my parents don't know really where it came from. It was just one of those things. It was just meant to be, I guess. And, you know, my third grade teacher, Mrs. Gagnon, remembers me dying for her after class, you know, and doing the dying scene. And I missed the school bus. And so then I had to call my mom. And she's like, why did you miss the bus? I'm like, well, I was dying for Mrs. Gagnon. And, you know, so it became this whole funny thing about, you know, what do we do with this kid, you know, who obviously wants to perform.
Right.
And I was really fortunate that so many of my teachers always encouraged me and gave me leeway to do the puppet shows and to do the, you know, and I even back into high school, I remember Mr. Walton, my English teacher, saying, boy, I want the class to read, I forget what the novel's called, but it's Flowers for Algernon. And he asked me to stay after class, and he said, I think you should read this instead. And he handed me the play version. So I had people like that all my life who kind of gave me that little extra, like, maybe this is your path kind of thing.
Right.
That's
really interesting to me because it comes up a lot.
I think it does too. And again, for Central Ohio, there wasn't any of that. And, you know, even my parents were like, you know, if you're far, you know, you do your chores and there's no extracurricular activities. You know, my brothers and sisters weren't allowed to do sports because it was a 15-minute drive into town and that's a waste of time. And so then I came along and when I got to junior high school in the seventh grade, the group that I started running around with were auditioning for the community theater. And one of my friends got in a show, and we went to go see him. My mom and my dad, I don't think my dad went, but my mom and I did went. And on the way home, I was singing some of the songs. And she goes, gosh, I didn't know you knew this show. And I'm like, I didn't. I don't. She goes, well, how do you know the songs? I'm like, well, I just heard them. She goes, you can memorize the song, and you just heard it once? And I'm like, yeah, is that weird? She goes, kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Little Mary Sunshine, and I was singing the songs. So I said, I want to audition for a show. So she took me to auditions, which was kind of against, you know, the rules of the family.
The house rules,
mm-hmm.
right.
And
okay, wait.
Yeah.
Now,
I was 13.
Where was your dad in all this? Did he?
Well, my dad was around, but he was farming, so he wasn't as hands-on.
Well, but he didn't mind that she took you to...
Oh, yes. There was a big thing.
Yeah.
It was a big thing. Well, I went to audition, and it's in a small theater, so my mom actually watched us all audition. And she says that... See, I get emotional. that she knew the second I walked on stage that that was where I belong. So on the way home... I think they told me, like, we want you to be knight number two. I was knight number two in Once Upon a Mattress. And and I'm like, what do we tell Dad? And she goes, I'll handle your father. And I never heard a thing about, I don't know what kind of fight they got into, which I'm sure there was. But she says, I'll handle it. Because this is what you're supposed to do. And so, that's what I did.
I just want to tell the audience that that Jeffrey is having trouble not crying, and I am too. So that it's this clear and present knowledge that people have when they have it, mm-hmm. and the people who are close to them, and sometimes not even the people that are close to them, like teachers and stuff, people can see it,
right.
and if they're kind, if they're loving, they encourage it.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've always been told, and even when I got to college, I went to college for theater, my professor then said, you need to explore your vulnerability because that's what attracts people to you as a performer. Mm-hmm. So even then I'm like, well, why am I vulnerable? And so over the years, I've really gotten rid of all the walls.
The defenses.
Defenses. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy for me to get involved and to allow myself to be emotional.
Yeah. You have real access to your emotions, and they just come up when they come up, which is...
Yeah, sometimes not good.
Well...
But then sometimes great. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world.
And how could it be not good?
Well, I wear my heart on my sleeve.
So you're saying that sometimes you get hurt?
Well, of course. People always try to, you know, bulldoze you. And I have a tough streak, though, too. I am a farm kid, and I'm scrappy. And
you're the youngest of six, so you had to make your way in that.
Yeah. I've also lived in New York, and, uh-huh. I know my way around.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also the part of me that knows when to say,
Yeah, you draw the line.
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, I can definitely, you know, roll up my sleeves.
Well, you know, to switch just for a second, you couldn't do this job if you couldn't do that.
It's tough.
Yeah.
The one thing that I also don't know where this came from, but, you know, the whole right brain, left brain thing,
mm-hmm.
often creative people can only use one side.
Yes.
And I guess over the years, and as I started to grow up as a kid, even my parents, my dad came around. You know, he started to see shows and started thinking, wow, you're good at that. I can't believe that. Wow, here's my kid, and he's singing and dancing, and here's a singing, dancing farm boy, you know. And so, you know, it just became a thing that they accepted mm-hmm. and encouraged.
And your siblings?
Siblings? Why does he get, you know,
I was
like
thinking that was probably true.
A little bit of that.
I mean, let's face it, you're baby boy.
I was the baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Still
and,
am.
Well, of course. 41. Well, you never lose that.
Yeah, that's true. So I obviously got a little bit more attention because I was different.
Yes.
But you know, it's interesting. I look back, and I never got razzed for being on stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how in some schools, like the artistic, creative kids get picked on? It was never the case in my high school. In fact, all the jocks always did the shows. So, and they were always impressed because they could, I'll never forget, Steve Lehman would always be like, I can only say one line, or otherwise I get confused. So they were always like, wow, he's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they never gave me any crap, you know. I never had that kind of bullying that you would get. So it was very, even in a small, you know, I had 190 kids in my class.
So you were in the nature of a little star in your neighborhood.
A little bit, yeah, mm-hmm. a little bit of a big fish in the little pond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And then as I moved into college, you know, that pond expanded, obviously. I had got great training. It was hard. You know, acting has always been something that was natural for me, so then to kind of learn the craft was very difficult for the structure and all that. But again, I had great people. The great thing about my college was we do an internship in New York our senior year. So I was able to go work for a casting agency in New York my senior year of college. And then after graduation, they called me up and said, you know, one of our staff just left. Would you, do you want to move to New York and and work with us?
Oh, another one of those it just falls into place thing.
Everything points towards what I should be doing, and I really do feel confident that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
That you're in the right place at the right,
right time. It always works out the way it's supposed to. Firm believer of it, to the point now where I directed our production of Candide last year. I was the director. And it's a very difficult show. And the female lead, the day we started blocking rehearsals, so we've been through musical rehearsals for about a week and a half.
Right.
The day we started blocking rehearsals called me and said, you know what? I think I'm going to take another acting gig. I actually didn't get the role, but I think I'm going to, I think I'm backing out of your show. So I went crazy. Finally, I'm on my way to the rehearsal where I have to start blocking people. And I think to myself, you know, this will work out because it always does. And these terrible things always happen. And so I started talking to myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, number one, don't be angry at the cast because they're there.
Right.
So I was like, boom, I got there, started blocking. Said, okay, we'll deal with this scene tomorrow. I just went right over it because I couldn't deal with it that day. The next day I went in and said, okay, guys, now I can tell you our lead dropped out yesterday. They're like, how were you so nice yesterday and how are you so calm and how did you get so much work done? And I said, you know what? It wasn't your fault. It'll work out. It always does. And then a little voice from the corner of the chorus said, I would like to audition. Could I audition for the lead for you? And I was like, sure. And she ended up being brilliant. So it was the it worked out exactly the way it was supposed to.
Right.
My life has always kind of worked that way. So I do have a sense of, I'm here for a reason, this is what I'm here for, and it always
Stop fighting, and
it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Whenever I went to an audition and was like, well, if I get this, great, and if I don't, great, I would get the role.
Yeah.
And then whenever I would go in and saying,
I have to have this
is my role,
yeah, right.
You know, this is my show, for about 2 years, I called myself the king of first refusal, which in professional terms, they would offer the role to somebody, their first choice, and that second choice was first refusal. So if the first person refused, then it went to the second person.
Right.
I was the second person. You know?
Yeah.
You know, even to the point where twice I had people say, we should have went with you. You know, like in hindsight, they were like, we should have went with you first.
Right.
But I was always that borderline person. I did great shows. I did Shakespeare shows. I got my equity card. So I worked.
Mm-hmm.
I found that I got auditions for shows that I didn't want to do. You know, I kept getting auditions for West Side Story. I was a professionally trained actor.
Right.
And here I was getting just all these musical theater auditions. And I started, I didn't realize I was blowing them. But I was doing poorly at them because I didn't want them. So I had to kind of start thinking about why I wasn't doing well at these auditions.
Right.
And then I realized that I really didn't care. So then I started going, well, is this really what you want to be doing for a living? Because your agent was sending you out. You had to take a show if it was offered to you, even if you didn't want it.
Right.
So it kind of took a little of my theater joy out of me, and New York kind of took that out of me, too. When I was in casting, I worked with Bill Cosby and Tommy Toon, and so I really got to know and work with great people.
Right.
But it just wasn't for me. The city took a lot out of me. I was there for 5 years, and I was on vacation in Florida, and I was just on vacation, and it was like in August, and it was hot, and I thought, you know what? I think I need to move out of the city. I think I've become somebody that I don't want to be. I was harsh. My mom tells the story about I was going home for Christmas 1 year, and I could only go home for 3 days and because of something. And she's like, well, honey, can't you come home for like 5? No, Mom, I can only come home for 3. Come home for 5. I'm like, I can't. And so finally she says, honey, you know, we really can't stand you the first few days you're home. So even to them, I had become somebody that was, you know.
That's so great.
Well,
good for her.
Well, yeah.
Bring the real Jeffrey back.
No. And he had kind of gone away. But anyway, I moved to Florida. And then my friend Catherine was auditioning for a show here in Sarasota and said, why don't you come audition with it and and do something, you know, not professionally. Maybe you'll enjoy it.
Right.
Because really, I had considered that I was retiring from the theater. I was burnt out.
Yeah. What were you thinking of doing?
I'd done everything to get through college. I was sure I would come up with something. I wasn't scared of that at all. I just wanted to get out of the city.
Right.
And I came over to Sarasota. I just instantly fell in love. I got in a show. When it came to staying in Sarasota, I just felt like it was a great place to be. It's an arts center. Lots going on.
Right.
It was a little theater called Theater Works, which has now been taken over by FST. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of shows there. I was asked to choreograph something. I thought, well, I could choreograph because I've been a dancer all my life. And so I started doing that. And then somebody said, well, do you want to direct that? And I'm like, gosh, I don't know. Sure, I'll try it, you know. And I was good at it. Mm-hmm. It just was something natural that I was that worked for me. And then I actually had a great story and ended up getting an idea for a play. And I kept telling my friend, I was like, you should write this play because this is a great story. And after for about a year, and he goes, you know what, why don't you just write it? So that's what started me writing plays. And so I'm a playwright. And then about a year ago, the position here at the Players opened up, and they put an ad in the paper, national, for anyone around the country. And, you know, and I put my name in the hat. I hadn't thought about being an artistic director, but, you know, I've been an actor, I've been a director, I've been a choreographer, I've been a writer, I've managed. I'm a business person, but I'm also very creative.
It's the perfect combination for this job.
It is a perfect combination. I'm surrounded by professional theater companies. What is the player's role in the community? That had been overlooked for years. So I'm building bridges. I am knocking down the fences. I'm being inclusive and doing the collaborations. For example, when I did the production of Candide, the Key Chorale gentleman was a good friend of mine, Richard Storm, mm-hmm. and I said, Richard, you know, I'm doing Candide. Why don't your troupe come and sing like opening night? You don't have to come every night, but if some of your people could come and sing. And so it was just a little mini collaboration mm-hmm. that I got to tell you, at the end of Candide, when 100 people came out and sang Make Your Garden Grow, that it just to this day makes my, you know, my hair stand up on my arms. It was a great collaboration. We're working together again. And even when we're talking about different schools that maybe don't have theater programs, you know, we should be helping them. We should be in there working with them, grassroots. I think we should be the go-to for every arts organization in Sarasota. Every show we do, there's a new art show that happens in our lobby. Just another way of the fine arts working together, collaborating, because a lot of artists don't have a space to hang their pieces.
That's right.
So here we have walls.
Yes, you do.
and I want to use them in a very interesting way. The Jazz Club of Sarasota has came to us and said, why don't we provide you with some jazz musicians? We're like, okay. So we came up with Jazz Meets the Arts. So on the night that we have our gallery opening, and we have the opening of one of our big Broadway shows, the Jazz Club is going to come and perform. So it's an entire evening. It's like $18 for the show. You know, there'll be a gallery opening and jazz. That makes me very happy. It fulfills what our role is, making everybody realize that we're all in this together. It's not us and them. Even with the other community theaters in town. You know, Murray Chase is bringing his play to Sarasota, and we're taking our play to Venice, and that was a bridge that had gotten knocked down at some point, mm-hmm. and we need to make sure that, you know, I work with the people at the Golden Apple, you know, I talk to the people at the Oslo, you know, we're all in this together, it's not us and them.
It's so clear that you are exactly what this theater needed, and that confirms what you were saying earlier about how you wind up where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is clearly where you're supposed to
be. And 20 years ago, would I have ever thought that this is where I would be? There's no way.
No. But you don't have to, because it's going to happen, so you don't have to think about it.
Yeah. And I actually had the first person say, you know, are you keeping track of all the things that you're accomplishing? I said, yeah. They're like, well, this isn't your last job. And I went, well, I hadn't thought about that yet.
No, and you don't
about
have
to. What the future
would
be after this.
No.
You know, you never know. But I see myself here for many years and making a difference.
I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. And I know everybody who has had anything to do with the Players since you've been here is glad to hear it.
Well, I have a lot of great support. I'm pleased with that. Again, not everyone always am I able to make everybody as happy as I would like, or they would like for me to, but you know what? That's not my job.
No, dear.
It's not your job. No, it really isn't. And it's hard for me to say no to people and stuff. So I do have a couple people that wonder what the heck I'm doing. But the good news is I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and to tell by the turnout on Saturday night.
Well, that was amazing.
You know, a lot of people like what you're doing.
And even my parents, I introduced my mom and my dad.
Yes.
And they said, you know, I talked about that afterwards. And they were both, you know, they got emotional after the fact, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they stood up and they turned around and here's a, you know, they're not used to being on stage.
Know.
You know, for them to see a sea of faces applauding them. It was huge for them. I mean, that was a huge thing. And then they look at me and go, how do you get up there in front of all those people all the time and handle that?
Well, and you wouldn't know what else to do.
That's
I mean, you've been doing that since the third grade.
Since I was in the third grade.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, okay. This has been really wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I like to ask...
If there's anything I forgot to ask or anything that occurs to you that you'd like to say or anything.
What I always try to tell people is if you haven't been to the Players Theater lately, then you haven't been to the Players Theater.
Mm-hmm.
We really are the ones that are on the ground making the biggest changes in Sarasota, and that comes from talent and that comes from hard work. And
commitment.
And there's a commitment there and there's a joy that you will not get at other theaters just because of what our role is. And in the entertainment industry, you're as good as your last show. Is every show going to be 100% best winner? Probably not, but I can guarantee, and I tell people that I'm guaranteeing a good season this year because I think we can do it, and I think we're on our way to really a strong commitment in quality and still giving people the opportunity to work and grow on our stage that they can't get anywhere else.
You know, they say it's top down.
Oh, the trickle down.
I'm
a firm believer of the trickle down.
And what you clearly bring trickles down.
Yeah.
And so it can't possibly be anything but terrifically entertaining.
Well, thank you. And actually, when I was applying for this job, that's one of the things I told the board. I was like, this is what I can guarantee you. What you see is what you get.
Right, right, right.
I have no ulterior motives here.
Right.
You know, this is how I see the theater, and this is my energy, and this is what, and you have to have that, because I'm a firm believer, if it's a business, if it's a soda shop, if it's the country, the main person, that energy, or ignorance, or pomposity, or whatever it is,
right.
The negativity trickles down or that positive trickles down.
Yes.
And I'm making sure that it's the positive that trickles down.
It is so clear.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, no, I'm
put a microphone in front of an actor person. And,
and you get a great interview.
You get someone who likes to talk about themselves. Thank you.
So that was my first interview with Jeffrey. And it was the first time I met Jeffrey. And so you can hear in that interview how taken I am with him, how comfortable we were together, how easy he is to be with. And that has not changed one bit, as you will hear in the follow-up interview, which I'm going to play in a second. But I want to make the point that the world has changed since Jeffrey took this job. And the challenges for him have changed, but it is clear that Jeffrey has not changed. His commitment to making the Players Theater a community theater, the strongest, the best, the most able to do just what he says at the end of this interview, to bring wonderful theater to the community and also to give people an opportunity to act, to direct, to do props, to do costumes, to work in the theater, an opportunity to work in the theater that they would not have in any other way. This is the goal, the vision, the mission of community theater all over the country, and it is the Players' mission, and it is so clearly Jeffrey's mission. And so in the follow-up interview that I just did, I did it so that we could talk about the upcoming production, and I want to encourage everyone who is in and around and close to or able to get to Sarasota, Florida, to come on down and see this extraordinary theater, this extraordinary production, this extraordinary man in action. So here I'm going to play someone I know much better now, Jeffrey Kinn.
So I'm here with Jeffrey Kinn yet again.
Again.
Again in I don't know what this is.
This is, we call this the star dressing room.
I see. Yes. I see.
It's high-end, high-quality, and then behind those curtains is all the glassware for the entire theater.
Right. It's a lovely.
But we have curtains.
I see that, and so you can pretend they're not there.
They're draped.
They're draped, yes.
We're theatrical. We use every inch of space we have.
Yes. All right, this is the third time that I am speaking to Jeffrey on a machine.
Yes.
By the time you are listening to this, I will have run the first interview that I did with Jeffrey when we had
back in the day.
Yes, when we had just met.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Which I still love. I still love that interview.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are meeting this time.
Yes.
To talk about Lend Me a Tenor.
Yes.
Which I didn't see the last time.
Well, excellent. Even better.
Yes. So you have to tell me everything that you can think of about Lend Me a Tenor.
Well, 5 years ago, I was a artistic director in my second year here at the Players, and I had introduced a play in my first season and wanted to keep introducing plays to my audiences because this Broadway series had been all musicals, and I thought, you know what, we need to expand this, and I think it's time. So I would try to do, you know, like, I threw in, like, an importance of being earnest, and, you know, so I'm trying to come up with these interesting plays that people would like, very palatable. And then this idea of Lend Me a Tenor came to me, and I read the script, and I went, wow, you know, this is funny stuff, but, you know, blackface? I mean, because they're doing the roles of Othello, so the guys are dressed in blackface because Othello is the Moor, and, I mean, so I'm like, how funny is this, and is it relatable now? Because then the play was 20 years old, and the Players had never done it.
How did you find it?
You know me. I'm a reader and a, you know, New York Times watcher, and it's always been, you know, kind of in the, Ken Ludwig is just so amazing with, like, Moon Over Buffalo. I had seen that at a local theater and liked it, and so I just knew that it was a piece that I would probably be interested in. And I was like, well, you know, let's try it.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know as the producer that, you know, Roberta McDonald, who I asked to direct it for me, would say, boy, Jeffrey, I think you should audition. And I was like, oh, well, that's not my plan. So it's never my plan when I choose to produce a show that I think that it's going to be a show that I will be in or do. I'm always looking at the big picture. So I did. So she was here, and she goes, would you just read a couple of this for me? And she was just like, Jeffrey. She goes, you're that character. And I'm like, well, he's a dork. You know, and kind of a, you know, nibbish, you know, so I'm like, well, I suppose that's me, you know, because there is a side of me that is always going to be, you know, that little bit of a, you know, off-centered.
Yes, we know that.
Idiot.
Right. No, don't do that.
I know, but there is that funny, goofy side of me that I will never get rid of, and it keeps me young. So she said yes, and so she came up with just a blockbuster cast. And, you know, we rehearsed and, you know, and then Bob Truff came in and, you know, gave, okay, well, you should do this. So it was a really great collaborative experience. It's the night before we open. We've been doing all this rehearsal, and she's giving notes. And I said, you know, Roberta, are we funny? And she went, because no one ever, you know, we would laugh at each other.
Oh, God.
You know, but we didn't know. You know, so it was really funny when she goes, oh, yes, Jeffrey, you're funny. So we're like, okay. So opening night, we had our charity preview that we do here at the Players. And, you know, the lights come up and there's music playing. And Maggie is sitting on the poof. And I open the door and I walk in and I say, like, three lines. And the audience starts laughing. And I went, oh.
Yay.
We are funny. And it wasn't a funny line. So I'm like, okay. And so it wasn't funny at all.
Well, you apparently were funny.
Well, yes, because me and the other cast members understand that to be really funny, it's almost better that you don't know that you're funny or you don't think you're funny. So you're really playing the intention. So my character of Max is so driven and so beat up by everybody else that he starts the show, he's at like an 8 when the show starts.
You know, I think it was Bert Lahr, who was in rehearsal for some comedy, and he did this bit, and the whoever was there, you know, the director, whatever, that they broke up, and he stood up and said, what are you laughing at? This is serious.
This is serious comedy.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, it's true, and sometimes, you know, what an audience doesn't know is, well, You know, I know this is supposed to be funny, but it's really not funny. Mm-hmm. And farces kind of get that way because people think, here I am,
yes,
you know, I'm doing
right,
this,
right,
and
right.
aren't I cute?
I hate that.
I hate it, too.
Yeah.
And that's why people sometimes don't like farces.
Mm-hmm.
So when we, Roberta, of course, has a great musical background, but then also a very serious acting background,
yes.
as do a lot of the performers. So you see these people who do musical theater, and it's kind of light fluff, and you think, oh, comedy's easy. Well, I got to tell you, it's easier to make somebody cry than it is to make them laugh.
I believe
comedy
you.
Is tough.
I believe
so,
you.
But we all bought into it. We all, you know, Patty O'Berg is in it, Bob Tresolini, Barry Ayers, Kayleigh McCall. I mean, just these amazing people. We've grabbed the entire cast from that production
wow.
and moved them forward because I thought it might be a great way to kind of add some spice to our opening 85th season. So I wanted to do something kind of like as a like a little gift,
mm-hmm.
and it really is the play that everyone talks about. Whenever I'm in the lobby, because you know I always host and kind of help people get seated in front of house for shows, they're always like, oh my God, that was so funny. Oh, that was the best thing. Oh, we loved that tenor show.
Wow.
And so I said, you know what, maybe it's 5 years. Maybe that's long enough.
Right.
And before we all get too old,
because to do it.
To do it, you know.
Right.
I said, you know what, let's see if we can do a full cast revival. We've never done one at the theater before.
Wow.
I said, let's try it. It worked kind of. You know, one of our bellmen moved to L.A., so now we have Ross Boehringer, who's replacing and going into that role. And then my Maggie wasn't able to do the show. She was going to be out of town for work opening week. So Amanda Heise is replacing her. So we have a great cast. Lillian Moore rounds out our cast. And so there's a few fresh faces,
yeah.
some of the older faces, and we're in rehearsal now. We are having a blast because we're... And then Roberta, who I had said, Roberta, can you direct? She goes, oh, yes, Jeffrey, I'm there. I'm like, great. So she calls me like 2 weeks ago and says, oh, I just got a gig in upstate New York.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I can't direct your show, but Kyle wants to do it.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, well, Kyle Turoff, I mean,
yeah,
she's
right.
nothing to shake a stick at,
right.
and I adore her,
right.
and she was available. So now we have a full cast revival. We have Roberta away.
Right.
We have Kyle stepping in.
Right.
So she's kind of molding us, making some interesting changes. We're
yes.
all, of course, directors.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't want to direct this show.
It was so funny when we were in the original set of rehearsals, you know, we'd be working something, and then you would just see the look come over one of our faces,
right.
you know. And then, you know, I would reach my hand up and be like, oh, I said, okay, I'm so sorry. But I know what this scene is, and I'm in the focal point, and it's not about me, and it should be all about him. So I really, I was like, I know I should be on the other side. And she goes, you're right.
Oh.
So then she, you know, I mean,
oh
so we
God.
All do it. You know, Bob just the other night was like, I think we did. I'm like, oh, I know, but
oh
we should ask the director.
God. Oh, my God.
You know, we should talk. You know, oh. Kyle's like, no, you're guys. That's fine. So we do usually preface it with, I'm really sorry,
right,
Bob,
right,
or should
well,
we
what,
maybe,
what do you think of?
Or what do you think of?
Right.
You know, because, you know, actors hate to be told what to do by another actor. I mean, that's like the
well,
death knell of
well,
camaraderie in a show is like, you should do this.
Right.
Yeah, don't tell
oh,
me.
Yeah, tell me.
The director's, you know, there
right.
is a director in the
right,
show.
Right. I mean, I want to say, because you said it pretty much, but it went by very quickly.
Oh.
Most of the people you named direct.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So this is a bunch of directors being directed
yeah.
by somebody who's also an actor.
Yes.
Vey is mirror.
Exactly. It's a riot, though.
Yeah.
And the best thing is, we all are so we all had such a great experience
yeah.
before.
Right.
Because, again, we didn't know what the hell we were getting ourselves into.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, we have this huge hit. People are on their feet and laughing and clapping. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's try it again. So I think we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
It's naturally getting shaken up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's 5 years later.
Yeah.
So things do change. And
well,
a new director and a couple of
change.
Cast members.
Yeah, people change.
Exactly.
You're not the guy you were.
I'm not the guy I was
more.
5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
Well, yeah, nobody is. Right,
yeah.
right. And so you have life experience,
yeah.
you have theater experience, you have lots of things that you didn't have 5 years ago. So
yeah.
in a way, it can't be the same.
Right.
But what I think you're saying is that you're bringing the joy of that early experience
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
Mm, right,
yeah.
right, right.
And the ability to know, wow, this really worked.
Right.
And so now it's kind of, it's reshaping it, but then with adding the new performers, things are changing. It's interesting that we have a reflection about what worked and what didn't work, and Kyle is looking at that as well, because she's like, yeah, I saw the video. That part didn't really work.
Ah.
So what if, well, let's try this, or have we thought about this? So yeah, so we're naturally...
Oh, she saw the video.
Yeah, she watched the video, because she wanted to... I mean, why start from scratch?
No,
I mean,
very
I hate to say it, but I mean, it was just 5 years ago. And it's funny, Lillian and Barry were in a scene last night, and Lillian was sitting there, and they're sitting on the sofa, and Lillian raises her hand and goes, I really think I'm on the other side. She goes, I see myself on the other side. I think I'm on the other side. I think, was I on the other side? And so this whole conversation about, were you on the other side? And you know, then Barry was like, yeah, you're right.
You were on the other
side. You were on the other side. And should we be on the other side? Oh. But then it worked. And so what, you know, what worked about it and what didn't work about it? So
well, the other thing that occurs to me is dialogue goes with blocking.
Yeah.
So, and so when you change the blocking on me, I get really confused.
It's amazing how much... I really am amazed at how much I have retained in what I do.
Yes, because you are where you were, then you say what you said.
Yes.
Right. So I understand her feeling disoriented.
Yeah. She was a little disoriented.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then there was a time when, you know, I was like, oh, this is when I jump on the bed. She goes, oh, no, you don't jump on the bed yet. I'm like, oh, this is when I walk on the bed. No. This is... I was like, well, I knew I did something.
Yeah, right.
You know, how many times? She goes, that's coming up. I'm like, okay.
All right.
Because I knew I did something on the bed here. So it is. We're having a great time.
So you didn't want to direct?
No. No. You know, I really, it's really interesting how my role in the players has come, even since when we spoke before.
Chorus line.
Yeah, with the chorus line. I'm at my best when I'm able to sit in the audience and look at what's coming together on a show with fresh eyes and say, that's not working, that person needs to be better directed, what are they doing on stage? And then the director goes, oh my God, you're right, but I've been looking at this person over here doing the kicks wrong and I'm not paying attention.
Right.
So really what's happened is having a little piece of me in every show rather than a lot of me in one show is actually better for the theater. But that's kind of evolved, and when we realize that when I'm really focused on one show, another show is going to suffer by not having my attention.
I understand.
Yeah.
And actually,
part of the growth.
So this is not a musical, Lend Me a Tenor.
It's not a music, but there's music in it.
Really?
Because yes, there's opera pieces. Because the tenor that's missing is the lead tenor who comes in. You know, Tito Morelli shows up, and first of all, he's late, but then he shows up, and then inadvertently we drug him, and because he needs rest, so he takes some pills, and I give him some pills, and then he passes out, and we think he's dead. So then we realize that he's dead, and that they've sold, you know, $1,000 tickets to 50 people,
right.
I mean, to 500 people.
Right.
So they're like, what do we do? And I'm like, well, I've been to all the rehearsals and I know the part, so maybe I could do it. And they're like, of course you can't do it. You're the assistant. And then, of course, they realize, well, maybe you should do it. So then I, you know, go off to do the show, and then, of course, Tito wakes up.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, like every farce in the world, you know, the what everyone's assuming and guessing and making choices, and lots of doors.
Yes, okay,
lots of doors,
I love
of slamming.
It.
And
okay, so now, is there actually opera played during the thing?
Yeah, we actually, at one point, Tito, when I first meet Tito, I tell him that I'm a singer, and so he goes, sing to me something, I'll give you a free lesson.
Yeah.
So I start to sing, and he goes, oh my God, you're terrible, do this. So we actually sing a little bit together and become friends.
I see.
And it's interesting, you know, I'm the one character that, as we realize that Tito's dead, that's really sorry.
Yes, right.
Everyone else is like, damn it, what are we going to do?
Right.
We need a person to show. And I'm like, well, I really liked him.
Yeah, I lost a friend.
He was a really nice guy.
Yeah,
and I, you know, and he's like, no, call me Tito. And I'm like, okay, Tito. So I lose a great friend. So it adds to just this piece that, yes, is funny, but it also talks to, you know, what we go through when we're putting on a show.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a universal, you know, what happens when all of a sudden they said, okay, you know, you're going to put on the costume, put on your face, meet you at the theater, and boom, you're on stage.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. You know, careful what you wish for. You know, you want to be on stage, and then all of a sudden you are. Sing a little bit as for fun, the da 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 da.
Right.
I use that in one piece when I think that I'm going to end up finally having sex with my girlfriend, which is also an underlying, you know, farces and wanting to have sex.
Yes, they go together.
They go together. So there is a lot of that. This piece works. It works because it's crisp, it's smart, it's funny. So what we've been given is amazing. And then, of course, you add a 7 seasoned performers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden...
Who have worked together.
Yeah. You work on stage with people that you just want to be on stage with. You just realize this is special.
Yeah. It is special.
This relationship is special.
Yeah.
And being able to create this joy. And again, it's a great season opener for us because then I can still focus on the rest of the season. Which is also huge. And we have all these area premieres. And I think it's important that our theater be the theater that maybe does some of the shows that other theaters aren't. We're a community theater, so we're here for everybody.
It's been 7 years now?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, you're not the guy that you were 7 years ago,
yeah,
because none of us are.
Right.
And you have a kind of experience now that I'm not sure is, I don't know whether this is what you expected or not, but could you just look back a little bit and see what may have changed for you or what has surprised you? Or?
How heavily would you like me to cry?
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. But not really. I get very philosophical. Because I never imagined it would be as difficult as it's been. And the first year was just throw a bucket of paint on me.
Right.
Because I had no idea what was coming. I had been a person that, yes, had done shows. I had been in shows. I had produced shows. But I never did 2 or 3 a month.
Right.
All year long.
Right.
So stamina-wise... Boy, there was a couple of rough years because, you know, basically I'm producing a great big musical every month, plus some smaller events, and then plus some backstage events, and then the kids programming, and then I added the summer programming so that we're year-round,
And I would like to say, and in addition, you have been directing and performing,
yeah,
and house managing and,
yeah,
coming to every opening. It is literally a 24/7 kind of operation for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to say, I don't know what it's doing to you inside, but externally, you continue to look charming, kind, gentle, accepting, inviting.
Well, that's good to hear. I always feel like that I could be a little kinder, because at times, you know, I can handle 10 things really well, but 11 and 12, once those hit me, I'm like, ah! You know, I've made some big mistakes.
Been a human being, have you?
Oh, that. But I'm being paid. This is my job. So my farm kid mentality is you give your all. You do your best.
Yeah.
You know, a farmer doesn't take a sick day. You bale the hay when it's dry.
Right.
You know, you harvest the corn when it's ready.
When
you're sick, it doesn't matter. So I am trying to be a little better to myself and ask for help.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with great people who think like you do. You can then kind of divest some of that stress. And this is something I never thought I would say. I have to accept the fact that there are times when I have to let people fail a little. I can't always save every day. I can't fix every problem because people have to learn for themselves. It's almost like being a parent.
Yeah.
You know, you can't always say, oh, honey, I'll do that for you. Oh, let me fix that for you. You ruin the person.
Right.
So I will see somebody going down a path.
Right.
I can say, think about this, consider this, and then let them perhaps get a little bruised.
Again, something that the community theater can do.
I can try to create something out of the people that showed up.
That's
who
right.
live in a 30-mile radius
right.
and want to do your show.
Right.
For me to have a hit, that's me able to take who showed up,
right.
give them some great directors and designers, and make a great stew that people want to say, wow, that was better than when I saw it,
yeah, right.
you know, at the Van Wezel, or that's better when I saw it in New York. I mean, we still have people that will say, you know what, I've seen this show before. This was better.
Wow.
Why? And I was like, I said, I can tell you why. I was like, because a professional actor will take whatever gig they need to take to pay for the bills.
Right.
We have people who are dying to do these parts.
That's right.
You know, our gal who comes in to play Sally Bowles in Cabaret, this is a dream role for her.
That's right.
And every second she's on stage,
yes.
she's going to be living a dream.
Yes, that's right.
You can't pay someone to live a dream.
True.
It's what makes the community theater some people love it more than if they see something professional.
Right.
Because we are giving opportunities for people to live a dream.
God. I think that's a great place to stop.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Kinn, living the dream. Live the dream. With Lynn Bernfield.
Right, you heard it here.
Thank you, my dear.
I love you.
Love you right back.
So, I play interviews with people who make their living or their life with an art, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be yourself. And Jeffrey Kinn is himself. There's no guile there. There's no second guessing there. There's no, I wonder what this is going to sound like or they're going to think about it. There's just Jeffrey Kinn. And of course, when you listen to somebody who is completely themselves, you have an opportunity to be completely yourself if you have permission to do that inside of you. And so, as always, I hope that this interview has triggered in you the desire to be all that you are and to come on down to the Players Theater and have as much fun as you could hear Jeffrey and I were having at the most current production, Lend Me a Tenor. As always, I hope you got something you can use from this show. Something that amused you, something that inspired you, something that triggered the suspicion that there might be something you left behind that you might want to recover. If that's so and you want to talk to me about it, please go to my website, thelynnshow.com, thelynnshow, don't leave the E out of Lynn. Click on the Email Me tab and ask me anything you'd like. I'd love to hear from you and we'll be happy to respond. In the meanwhile, I hope that you got something that'll bring you back, because I'll be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go.